Last time on this podcast.
I don't believe that we should be building a LinkedIn profile as a resume. In fact, I think that's the worst thing that you can do. In essence, your LinkedIn profile needs to be highly optimized and it needs to really move people to the next step, like a website would.
Welcome to Upon Arrival, a show that uncovers stories and strategies that make up all the moving parts of business events tourism. I'm Adelaine Ng, and this is part two of my interview with Danielle Fitzpatrick Clark, a dream client attraction specialist and a disruptive strategist on LinkedIn. She's also the founder of Influence Builder and the Influencer Builder Club. In part one of our interview, Danielle shared her idea for designing your LinkedIn profile the unconventional way, more like a website or funnel rather than a virtual resume, which is what most people, me guilty as charged, do. She also talked about how you can turn a visit to your profile into an experience for visitors and how to suss out buying personas on LinkedIn. If you missed part one, go check it out. Now get ready for more insane LinkedIn tips because in this part, Danielle demystifies the LinkedIn algorithm for us and tells us what's working right now and why some of her advice flies in the face of what most other social media gurus are teaching. That's all coming up. But first, I started asking about that awkward thing we do on LinkedIn, the dreaded cold DM. And if we need to be the ones reaching out, how do we make that not awkward? So here's how I asked Danielle the question. If you've already set up everything the way you've recommended, which is to set up your profile as a website rather than a resume, it gets to a stage where sometimes, you know, you think somebody's interacted with some of your content and maybe they could be a good fit and you're just wanting to see, would they be in a place where they would consider the next step to have that conversation with you?
Yeah.
Is there a right way to use direct messaging to reach out to potential clients without turning them off before you've even had a chance to really properly present your value?
Yeah. Okay. So this is there's a lot of different ways. I'm going to give the way that's coming in for this particular industry. What I would do after you have your profile optimized and the profile just, it really needs to speak to that ideal client. So first things first, you've got your cover photo. If you are travel agent or you're looking to get hired as a event planner, then you want to have something in that banner that showcases that you're an event planner, right? So it could be a photo of you with a client and you have a checklist booklet out or something like that. It could be you looking very assertive with a checklist photo and then some content that talks about one of the things that is very disruptive and exactly what people are looking for. So for an event planner, I would say just based on who their ideal client is, like this is the first thing that comes to mind when I think about it, is that don't just create the stage, actually speak on it and speak with impact. Let us do the rest. Do you see what I mean? And so that's going to really speak to somebody I was talking about at the beginning, who's just like, you know what, I really need to hand this off to somebody because I'm here for the impact. And I feel like I've created this stage and I barely talk on it because I'm so busy just trying to make sure all the pieces are in place. And I don't want to do that anymore. It is worth all the money in the world to hire someone to take care of this stuff for me. So you're speaking exactly to them. Like, don't just create your stage, actually speak on it and create the impact you were here to create. Let us do the rest of it. And so you can have that. And then in the title, you just got to kind of match that. Why are you the person to take over the rest? Well, because I'm a certified event planner and all the other things that they would need to be like, I need to talk to this person. So that should be, the title does need to match that banner. So that's what you have to have first. And that's an experience, by the way, and it's speaking to that ideal client specifically. And so the rest of it needs to fall into that place of, this is for my ideal client. So your about section wouldn't be a cut and paste drop of your resume, not with that particular buying persona. It would be more like, are you tired of creating the event, creating the stage, and not having the impact that you want to have, not just for your attendees, but for your own bottom line? Well, chances are you're busy doing all the things. And the last thing that comes to play is the very thing that you started doing the events for, which is to build your business and to create an impact. This is where we come in, or this is where I come in, and I help you. I take care of this, 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 and this, so you can do this, 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 and this, so you can feel this, this, and this, and this. And that's the about section. And that's speaking to them specifically. In fact, if they've read all the way through that, they're going to be feeling like, it's like she pulled or he pulled this right out of my head and then put it on their LinkedIn profile. I got to talk to him now. So don't forget that calendar link for them to set up a call with you too in that about section. And you also want it up in the top by the title. So that's that, right? That's taken care of. What do we need to do to get the right eyeballs on that profile that speaks to those ideal clients? You need to get your ideal clients actually need to see it. So that's the part where a lot of people, they'll have the profile, but they won't have the leads. And so one of the fastest ways that I think for this industry is to get in LinkedIn groups. LinkedIn, I know everyone's like, but LinkedIn groups, nobody ever does anything. Yes, it's true. It's true. Nobody does anything in LinkedIn groups, but you know what they do? They answer polls, especially polls that is aligned with a solution they're looking for. So my advice would be to find those groups where those ideal clients are. And if you need to do some research beforehand, then go into the groups, you know, join the groups and go through. You can actually see all the members, pick out some of the members, take crystal notes and see, hey, is that my type of person? Do they have the right personality that I'm looking for? And does it all match up with what they're saying in their profile? And you're going to be able to do that matching point. And if it's a win, then you can go and start creating polls. So what do you want to create polls on? Well, there's a couple different ways where event planners can create polls. And then also if it's more of a destination, you can create polls there too, right? So you can actually ask like, okay, if you had one trip that you could make this year, where are the places that you would want to go? And then you get four different selections. Of course, those selections are going to be where you can actually provide that solution and that's a destination, or at least one of them, or all of them, even better. And so you put it in that group with the ideal clients, they vote on it, and guess what? You've got leads right there in the poll. They've already raised their hand and said, I'd be interested in going there. I'd be interested in going there. I'd be interested in going there, or I'd be interested in going there. And you can easily, with a poll, you can easily message them after they voted. And what it'll do is it'll give a print screen of that poll in the DMs and then create a message with it. And so that's like one of the easiest ways to get people to raise their hand, because then you can talk to them. You have something to talk about that isn't salesy.
Yeah.
It's just based on their answer. And so you can do that with the travel, and you can also do that with the event planning, because this is one of the polls I've actually used in some networking events. So networking groups are great for polls. So any local ones, or even like network after work or network after dark, that's a really good one too. And so you can actually ask people like, what are your favorite days of the week to network? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, right? You can talk about that. That's a really easy one. Like, oh my gosh, let's just try that poll right now. And so then you have people who are voting, and then you have content like, well, you got content for an article if you want to take it that much further after that. But really, you actually have people to message like, oh, thank you so much for voting. I see that you like Mondays. Any specific reason why you like Mondays? I'm just curious.
Yeah.
They're going to answer, of course. Like, oh, I like Mondays because, you know, I want an extension on my weekends and I love people. So that feels like Monday feels like less corporate if I have a networking event afterwards or something. I don't know. I'm making stuff up at this point. I've never heard this answer before. But, you know, it just gets that conversation going. And so from the conversation, you can go into the next pieces. Like, well, you know, what's really interesting is that I work with a lot of event planners. And this is just one of the questions that we tend to ask people who go to events. Is this something that you think that we should relay on to our event planners that we work with? And they'll say, yes, actually, this is really good feedback for me. I'm an event planner. Or actually, this is really good feedback for Tom. He's an event planner. And so then you get an introduction. So there's just all these different ways that you can use these conversations to get to the right person, or maybe that's the right person. That's kind of a broad poll, but it gives you at least a little bit of information or some ideas of what you can create and how you can keep it really simple and then grow on that. Because you do want people to answer the polls. You do want to talk to them. You do want to see who they know. They're going to networking events. Chances are they know somebody who's creating an event. I mean, I don't know how many networking events you've been on. I've been on so many. And there's always somebody creating an event, whether it's an online event or it's an in-person event or a conference, or they know somebody that is. I mean, it's like every conversation, somebody's creating an event. So that's a really good one too. And another thing with polls is that you can actually ask people, you know, what kind of events do you like going to? It could be a networking one. It could be an in-person one. Or do you like to create your own events? I would just throw that one in there. That's a disruption. Yeah, I'm like,
that's a good one.
Or I'm like, I don't like to go to events. I like to create them. And I would actually write that, because that's actually me, because obviously I like creating events. I like to create events. So you can actually throw that one in as your number four and see who answers. And ding, 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 that's your person to talk to. It kind of comes out of this general poll that nobody's really expecting. And it's not really salesy that way, but also you're going to get the people that you need to get in front of, and then you can have that conversation.
Yeah, that is so interesting. So if I'm getting this right, what you're actually recommending that is that we be very, very light with those DM reach outs. Focus instead on attraction marketing.
Yep.
And use those polls and anything that is, you know, interactive. It's so easy though to kind of do the polls and, you know, just experiment with those, you know, little interesting questions that, you know, I'm just curious about your life. I'm just curious about, you know, what you would choose or which destination you would choose to do your next event in. And then move into, you know, when you started to develop a relationship with the community, it's very easy to, I guess, slip into things that sounds a little bit more salesy. I guess, I don't know whether it's just, you know, old muscle memory and that's hard to shed, but there's so many people as well now who see that and instantly get turned off.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, you know, she's selling something or he's selling something and I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah.
So are there guardrails that we can kind of put in place for ourselves just to make sure that we kind of don't go into that territory and stay authentic and stay attractive?
Yeah. All right. So this is the easiest way I know how to explain this, is that it's really all about your intention before you go into any conversation or asking any kind of question about a poll, right? Or anything like that. If the intention is, I need a sale and I need a sale today, guess what? You're going to come off.
You're going to sound salesy.
You're going to sound salesy because that's your intention.
You're right.
It just is. So if you're in a place, this is what I tell everybody. I'm like, okay, so if you're stressed, if you're overwhelmed, if you feel desperate, you need to make a sale right now. Now is not the time for you to sell. Like, what do you mean it's not the time for me to sell? I'm like, it's not the time for you to sell. Mm. It's not, because people are going to smell you a mile away and they're going to be like, nope, I'm good. And that's why people get turned off, is that they can sense the desperation and it's just not attractive. And if it is attractive to them, then that's an even bigger worry. I mean, who wants to attract in somebody else who's more desperate than they are? And then that's just like a mess, right? So that's what I tell everybody. It really is about your attention. So if you are going into LinkedIn and you're stressed out and you're feeling like you need to get a sale or you need to get in front of X amount of people without a plan in place, then go for a walk or meditate or get back to why you're doing the things that you're doing and the fun of it. What's the fun? What's the fun in it? For me, people are fun. I like people. I like to hear what they're up to. When I get a chance to take a break from implementing and tech and all that stuff, then I am super curious and I just want to have conversations. How can I help you? I've got a huge network, all those things. And I am also very curious on how these conversations can go in the DMs. So not only do I experiment with the profiles, but I experiment in the conversations. And sometimes I'll experiment when people are coming at me with sales and I'm like, ooh, this is fun. Let's see if we can turn this and see if we can turn this into, my intention is to turn this into a win for both of us. And however I see a win for me in this conversation, and I can see a really big win for them, then that's where I play. And I don't look at it as like, oh, sale. I just need a tangible result. I just need a win right now. I usually will look for what's a win for me and what's a win for them and what's a win for their audience and my audience. And if that's a combination, then our combined audience. So it really is about kind of taking a step back and being more curious than desperate.
Had to be said.
Hey, you know, and I get it. Like, I mean, if you don't love the old school sales tactics, and you're pushing yourself just to do them because somebody told you to do them, it's never going to end up well for you. You're going to hate it. You've got to enjoy the process. Even salespeople that are really good and enjoy sales, what they really love is they love the process. They love the smell of blood or whatever they do to get themselves revved up. Like, I just love to go in for the sale. But they love it. They love the process. It's a game. it's a game to them. It's fun. And so if you're not that person, and hey, no harm, no foul, if you are that person or you're not that person, it doesn't matter. It's what brings you joy. Then you have to find a different way of enjoying the process. And so that's what I tell everybody. I'm like, enjoy the process. Like, you don't even know what your next conversation, it could be the ideal client and the person that you're like, this is why I do what I do. This is why I do what I do it for these people, for this type of person. We get along so well. It's just, you know, they have no problem paying my fees. I really make a big difference in their lives and in their events and in their attendees' lives. And that lights me up. And so that's where you want to step into. You want to step into the curiosity. Is this person? How can I help them? And even if I can't help them, who could I send them to, or who can I introduce them to? And so it just takes the pressure off.
Yeah. When you make it more about people than about a sale, then yeah, that makes so much difference. And it's also about, you know, who needs me at this time,
yeah,
and meeting that need. So mm-hmm, just providing that, when sales is a service, that's, I guess, the mind shift,
yeah,
that we need to stay in. Tell us about posting, because I can definitely relate to posting and getting crickets back.
Yeah.
So if we can dig deeper into those, you know, the insane LinkedIn tips that you're known for.
Yeah.
How do you go about posting relevant information that's, I mean, there are some influencers within the event industry space, mm-hmm, that I do follow that get like hundreds of comments, but these people do not post very often. And
yeah,
what they do post are insights that you would need to be at a really high level,
yeah,
to be able to have those insights in the first place. And that's not where everybody is.
Right.
So if you can give any advice to that.
Yeah. So here's the advice. Don't worry about the post. don't
really?
Don't worry about, okay. It's not, and this I've told to so many people, because there's so many LinkedIn experts out there spouting the opposite. And that's actually what's hurting them, is like, oh, you need to post 3 times a day, or you need to post every day. And actually, the algorithm isn't favoring that right now with LinkedIn. The algorithm is favoring quality over quantity. So that's tip number one, is that, hey, if you're going to post, make it a quality post. And quality in terms of the LinkedIn algorithm is whatever you have on your profile. So let's just say, and I don't know if you guys know this, but you can turn on a creator mode on your profile, and that will open up being able to have a LinkedIn newsletter, be able to do LinkedIn lives, be able to do LinkedIn audio events. So if you haven't turned on creator mode, I highly recommend it. You can do it right from your profile. I think it's in the top 1/4, the top 25% of your profile when you're editing it. And turning that on, they also give you the option of putting hashtags, right? Of what you speak on. So when you're creating those hashtags, make sure it's SEO friendly hashtags that you will actually be posting and creating those keywords within your post, because the LinkedIn bots are looking for that match. So you've got 5 hashtags, make them really good, and make sure that those hashtags are in your posts. It's really that simple, because that's a quality representation of that you are matching your profile and what you say you do in your content. So that's one thing that you definitely want to do. So that's a quality content. The other thing is that just create a post that needs to be heard by your ideal client. Even if it's like one person that likes it, but it's an ideal client that ends up buying from you next week, you won. You won.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter about the numbers. It just doesn't. It's more about, again, creating that experience. And then we match it with our profiles so that the LinkedIn gods are happy. and they put it in front of more of our ideal clients that are actually following those hashtags, or actually looking at posts with those hashtags and all that stuff. There's so much that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But if you think about it from a logical perspective, that all makes sense. That all makes sense. Of course, they're going to put it in front of those people.
Hang on though. I've been posting. I have yet to set up that creator mode. Mm-hmm. I've been meaning to, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah.
But I've been putting up, you know, whenever I do a post, I've been putting up hashtags,
yep,
the way everybody's been doing, like 5 hashtags. So yep, are you saying there's a difference between posting those hashtags without creator mode and when you are in creator mode? Like, is there actually a difference?
Yep. So this is just the algorithm. These are new changes too. So LinkedIn is looking for quality posting based on what you do. So if you're going to do an information post, then it needs to match what you have on your profile, because that means that you're an expert, right? So if you have the creator mode, just gives you an extra push in that algorithm so that LinkedIn matches it. It's kind of like they have you know, with AI and everything, they have checkboxes that we can't see. And so if you're checking a checkbox, great, then you get a boost and they put it in front of more people that are your connections. The other thing is that with hashtags, when you think about how the hashtags work within any search engine, is that people will follow hashtags within LinkedIn. Now, do all of them? No. Some of them just will use the hashtag. Some of them will look at several posts with that same hashtag in it. Like they're looking for that. And so the algorithm will keep like, oh, you like that? We'll give you another one. Oh, you like that one? We'll give you another one. And so if you're combining using hashtags that your ideal clients are looking at for posts, and then you double down on that and have those hashtags in your creator mode at the very top of your profile, and this is what you talk on, then they're going to put it in front of more of those people. And then if they're a first degree connection, even bigger boost for that. So it's just kind of lining up all these things to give yourself that competitive advantage, right?
Yeah.
And it's very simple. It is. It sounds really simple. Is it easy? Well, if you know the steps, yeah, it's easy. I mean, how hard is it to say, okay, this is a list of hashtags that every time I use this, my ideal client sees it. And oh, by the way, it's a thing that I have on my profile too. So I know the algorithm is going to work in my favor. Then it becomes a thing. Well, if I don't know that they're looking at this post, how do I find out if they're looking at this post? So there's two ways to find out. One of them is to create an engagement post and feedback, right? Feedback. What is it that you need? What is it that you like? Tell me. I need to know so I can help you. Those are different types of posts. Those are more your, I'm creating this post like a poll for engagement because I want to see what people are thinking who are my ideal clients. The other piece is that if you have premium, the upgraded premium, or if you have Sales Navigator, then you can actually see who's looking at your profile, which I highly, 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 highly recommend. It is a superpower, not a weapon. I mean, you can use it for either. It's great. But it is your secret weapon to knowing who is actually taking a peek. And it's different than the other social media platforms. Like we don't know who's looking at our Facebook profile. We don't know. We can have a pretty good guess based on if they message us in the DMs. But I mean, half the time, those are just salespeople too. So, or appointment setters, right? It just is. And so we don't know that they're, I love that piece of LinkedIn because I'm like, oh, I have so many little stalkers and who are just like checking out everything that I'm doing. And they don't necessarily come and talk on my post, but they're looking at them and I can see it. And so once I can see it, then I can make movement towards them to make it a little bit easier to talk to me. Maybe I'm intimidating, I don't know, or maybe they don't feel like they have anything to say, or maybe they don't think they can afford me. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out in a very friendly way without telling them, I saw you stalking my profile, so let's just talk about it. Sometimes I can do that. Sometimes it depends. Again, like I take a look at their profile before I'll do that stuff. And I'm like, oh, this person's a straight shooter. I can actually pull that and they're going to love it. And I can do the same thing in Facebook. And I'm like, oh, I bet if I just say this and if I'm like brutally honest, this person's going to love it. And rarely am I wrong. I'd say, wow. Again, we're like a 90, 95%. I'm usually right on the money with how I can talk to people too. And it's just, again, it's just practice. But yeah, so for your posts, again, it's about quality. It's about getting in front of your ideal clients. It's about getting them interested to further explore what you are up to. And then you can take it from there if they don't make a move. It's okay if they don't. You have a better chance of knowing when you do upgrade in premium and Sales Navigator. But yeah, like it all works. You get to get a little creative. And I think the other thing with LinkedIn is that people are so afraid of it. They're so afraid of it. And I get it. The DMs are crazy sometimes. And not knowing how to have those conversations in the DMs or not wanting to get that not nice feedback of like, why are you sending me a link? I didn't ask for it or something like that, or the sales process. I mean, it can be kind of brutal, right? If you're just trying to figure it out, but I'm like, I really need to get in front of people and I don't know how to. So people are afraid to do anything right now on LinkedIn. And that's not really what LinkedIn's about either. I mean, it's a social media platform, but it's also a professional platform. And there's ways to bring the two of those together.
Yeah, I love that. Some of the things that people are always wondering about, you know, things like video versus photos versus mm-hmm. write-ups. I heard one the other day that said videos don't do very well on LinkedIn. Do you agree with that?
No, they're actually doing really good.
Oh,
the algorithm is now favoring video. So LinkedIn's actually calling forward more people with video. So what they don't favor is cutting and pasting like a video link. you know, from like YouTube or something. They don't want you to bring in their competitors. So no, the algorithm isn't going to reward you for that. But what the algorithm is going to reward you for is live streaming a video into LinkedIn, which is another reason to turn on creator mode so that you have LinkedIn live stream. So you can do that with a third party application. I use StreamYard. It's very simple. So that's a really good one. Restream.io is another good one. But then they will reward you for streaming. They will reward you for that. And because it's original content coming into the platform rather than you posting a link. But uploading videos is good too. They are favoring videos. So yeah, videos are great.
What kind of video, I guess? Because obviously if you have TikTok content or Instagram Reels content, they all have a different vibe and a different style. Mm-hmm. What is the language that works on LinkedIn? I know it's professional, but at the same time, we don't want it to be boring.
Yep.
So what can you tell us about what have you seen worked in terms of uploaded videos? Because I don't really see this community as yet going majorly on streaming just quite yet. So they may not be prepared for that, but what kind of video content do you think would work? Yeah. That doesn't look too polished as well, because I've heard that doesn't work as well either.
Yeah. Okay. So think of it a couple of ways. So first things first is like, okay, I'm my ideal client, and knowing the percentages I know is that we're not quite like Instagram where it's like 67% of the people are on their phone and the rest are on their desktop. It's a little more 50-50 and probably a little bit more for desktop. But also think about, when are your people scrolling through LinkedIn? What time of day are they? If you don't know that information, you can ask. You can ask your clients now and just say, hey, when do you get on LinkedIn? I'm just doing a quick survey because I would really like to create content and place it there for my people who need it at that time, just to be smart about it. And they'll appreciate that. So find that information out and then start thinking about, okay, so they're on the platform right now and they are on it at this time. And just the feedback I've gotten is that when they are watching video, they are watching video for the purposes of inspiration. So especially on Mondays, man, are they looking to be inspired today? And they're looking to be inspired to keep going and creating their event, you know, even when ticket sales are down or something like that. So as an event planner, what can you say in a very short video? And don't forget, if they're checking from their phone, they probably have it on mute. So you got to have those subtitles. But what is it that they need to hear this Monday morning to keep them going and keep them up, even if things are hard right now with their event planning? And it could be as simple as like, keep going. Most of the ticket sales don't come in until 2 weeks before the event, or something, whatever your stats are saying, or whatever you need, whatever you would actually tell your current client that comes to you and says, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do this anymore. What would you say to them? Create a video to help motivate those other ones. But it's so simple, but make sure you've got your subtitles and everything and be very intentional. Storytelling is actually doing really well. And I know why. Storytelling is doing so well on video and in even posts because we have so much AI going right now.
Yeah.
It's to the point where you can tell somebody, oh, that's very generic. AI must have written that. So you can't write anything generic anymore. What's the best way to differentiate yourself from something generic? Write a story. Write a personal story or a story of your ideal client. Monday morning, you could actually give a story about, you know, when I was working with this client, we were 2 weeks out and they had sold 5 tickets to their event that was supposed to have 200 people. And they came to me just like, maybe we should close it down. And I told them, no, we're going to triple down. We're going to pull in help and we're going to get everything sold because you've got buyers and they just need a reminder. And so you can tell that story and then you can have like a checklist. Like, if you're feeling like this, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do A, B, C, D, E and get moving. If you need help, DM me. Simple. But I mean, just if you can start thinking of it in different places of where they've been at or where they could be at, and then speak to that. And the reason why this could work really well in video is because they need to hear that. They need to see your face. They need to hear your voice. They need to have that trust factor. And video is still the fastest way of doing that in the online space.
That is brilliant advice. And I I forget that, you know, sometimes we feel differently on a different day, on a Monday versus a Friday. Yep. And just matching that mood is just so important. Yeah, it's one of the things that I haven't really thought about enough. So yep. Thank you for that.
I hope there was a nugget or two in this episode that you found valuable for your own success on LinkedIn. And I know I said thank you to Danielle, but there's actually more. In part 3 next week,
a third of the people on LinkedIn as of 2022, a little bit over a third, this is their only social media platform. And I think they're up over 800 million.
Danielle gives us more reasons to invest our time on LinkedIn. It's well worth it. But can the same be said for LinkedIn ads? Also, is there such a thing as posting too often on LinkedIn and sabotaging your reach? If you're interested in her answer to that question, don't miss the next episode. And you won't if you click the follow button on your podcast player to be notified when a new episode drops. So, catch you next week for part 3 to uncover more stories and strategies for a successful future. Till then, cheers.